gotta leave your money behind you. Raise your hand to the sky. Ask the masses for silence.
Welcome back to Give Me Some Truth. Nate, congratulations. We've hit a new bull market.
Officially.
So, and this is like one of the longest bear markets ever, apparently, between the bear and the bull. So, we finally have kind of retraced our way up to hitting a bull market. So congratulations, we've checked the box. And when we say that, we're talking about the S&P 500.
And right.
So, you know, one of the things that is, I think, to be discussed, and we're not going to dwell or spend a ton of time on it today, but I do think that one of the important things that we talk about is how sustainable is this new bull market that we see, and what's been causing this bull market. So one of the things that I think people don't realize is that the breadth or the number of stocks that are actually up a meaningful amount is very thin. So people have called this the skinny bull market, which I think is pretty funny. And I like that sort of nomenclature, calling it the skinny bull market. So there have been apparently 8 names that have contributed vastly to this run-up in the S&P 500. And I don't think that people really realize that.
And well, the same story in the NASDAQ. And I think you're exactly right. And that's the almost the tricky part about this bull market is that, yes, it's a good thing, right? Let's start there. The bull market's a good thing. However, I think we need to understand that it's not your typical bull market. In typical bull market, you have multiple sectors all driving in the same direction. You have hundreds of companies all kind of going the same direction. This is not that. This is a few names that are pulling things up, and it's almost one where you have to look at it with a little bit of a sideways glance and go, I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure if this is what we would not necessarily define as what most people think is a bull market. Yes, it fits the definition of a bull market. However, I'm not sure if most people look at it and go, this is a screaming bull market.
You're sounding like a skeptic. I think we can lay out a bull case and a bear case here. Let me go through 8 of the names here that are contributing to a lot of this. This is from the Wall Street Journal article that we had recently. 8 of the largest tech and growth companies in the U.S., Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, Netflix, Tesla, and NVIDIA are the 8 companies that have contributed significantly to that. So it says one side of narrowing breadth can be seen in how the S&P 500 has fared this year compared with its equally weighted counterpart. So just taking the 500 companies and you think about just making them all equal weighted in the index, which gives equal sway to every company in the index. Compared with the traditional index's 12% gain, the equally weighted version has added 1.8%. This is the largest ever outperformance by the S&P 500 on a year-to-date basis, according to the Dow Jones Market Data Analysis through June 6th, based on data starting in 1990.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty shocking sort of situation right here as far as those 8 companies contributing that much rate of return and so few of the other companies contributing any rate of return to that index.
Well, let's take a step back on that briefly. So let's get a little further into what that means. So typically when you say the S&P 500, you're talking about what's called a market capitalization index, which means that the biggest company is first, all the way down to the smallest company, the 500th company, and they're ranked in size. Okay. The problem with that in the way that most people think about it is that you can then have some incredibly, you can have the index that gets moved in incredible ways by the top 5 or 10 companies. And then in the bottom 490 can have very little impact, and that's what's going on right now. And so when you say, okay, what if you did an equally weighted index? So in other words, what you did is take all 500 companies and you equally weight them, not based on their size, but based on, you know, 1/500th gets assigned to each of the 500 companies. And those numbers were what? 12% of in the standard S&P versus 1% rate of return in the equally weighted. So that means if you had an index that was the same 500 companies, same period of time, but you just gave an equal weighting to all of them, you'd barely be positive. But right now the S&P is up 12 because of those top eight companies.
And I think it referenced the article, those companies are up like 22%
right
on average. And the interesting thing about that index then, as these companies get bigger, they get represented as a higher portion of the right. index.
Right.
So they started the year, the article I believe says 22% of the index were those eight names. It's up to 30% right now. So your S&P 500 is far more concentrated than you may even know.
Right. So think about that. So 500 companies, but 30% of the indexes is made up of eight companies. And so that's when you think about diversification, I mean, how diversified are you really when you think about it that way? Because you've got 70% of the index that's spread across 492 companies and 30% of the index that are represented in eight names.
Yeah. And some people say, oh, I should just own the S&P 500 and a bond fund and be done with it. And I couldn't disagree with that more.
Right.
I mean, it just is shocking about how big these companies are getting as far as the constitution of the indexes and how much embedded risk you may be taking in that sort of index going forward. Like right now, did you want the S&P this year? Absolutely. You know, but right. if you don't have the S&P 500 in your portfolio, right. and many of our clients don't, sometimes you substitute different indexes for the S&P and you miss out on some of that performance. Well, should you be switching the S&P 500 now? Well, I think there's an right. argument to be made that that answer is no. And the argument may be to maybe the equal weight index going forward might be a better selection. I don't know. I mean, right now, if you're looking at what's going to do better the next 12 months, I'd be shocked if the S&P 500 were to outperform another equal weight index. But, you know, we'll see. Time will tell. I think that it's a time to take and pause and just kind of say, well, you know, what is the bear case for everything going forward? And what's the bull case for everything going forward? And I think the bear case is simply that eight companies have driven this rate of return, and the other, you know, 492 companies in this index are giving you an indication that things might not be quite as rosy. And so therefore any retreat in those eight companies could mean a little bit more disaster for the index.
Well, so, think about those eight companies are all tech companies.
Yeah.
They're all tech companies. I mean, you can say they're not, well, they're all tech companies. So you have eight tech companies that's driving the entire bull market, literally. So when you have, the hard part is to have confidence in that going, yes, this feels like a sustainable rally when you have eight tech companies that's basically making up the entire rally. I mean, the large value is down for the year.
Correct.
And not by a little bit. And so you get an entire segment, the large companies that are considered value companies, they're underwater even though we're in the middle of a bull market. Something about that doesn't smell right.
Yeah, but if you're going to make the bull case and if you're going to, you know, turn that on its head, you'd say, well, 492 companies haven't done that well this year. And so therefore, you've got a lot of companies that could turn around things, could have better earnings, could surprise to the upside. And even if these other companies kind of treaded water or even went down a little bit, you have a significant part of the index that hasn't done anything. So I think that there's a case to be made in both cases here saying, okay, well, if the rally fizzles out in tech, what's going to happen to the rest of the rally? And maybe you see some sort of cyclical rally in some of these large cap value names that have been pretty good the last couple of years, and
right.
maybe that returns.
Yeah, I think, but that to me is that's why this is different, because most bull markets don't come with an asterisk. Most of them don't come with a yeah, but. Most of them don't come with a but. Hold on a second, we got to see that that's not how bull markets work. They go up, and it's the high tide raises all boats. Not all, but the vast majority of boats go up. That is not what this is.
Much more than eight names. I mean,
much more than eight tech names, right? And so, and the ones that you're leaving out are, you know, AMD, which has been on a tear, and some of the other ones. So even if you get past those eight and go to the next 10 tech companies that are all doing crazy good this year, again, it's still just a handful or two handfuls of tech companies, even beyond the eight. So how, I think that that's what gives a lot of traders pause as they look at it and go, you can't have a ton of confidence when you don't have the rally get spread across even just a few more sectors, right? And so I think that's your point, which is right, but it could spread, right? It could, right? And that I think is the question, is most bull markets, it that has already spread before the bull market actually becomes a bull market. And that's the scary part about this one.
Well, and it's highly likely that the Fed will resume raising interest rates later in the year. Usually not a bullish sign. And then furthermore, usually don't see these really specific sector rallies hold for a really long time. I think what's been driving this significantly has been the whole AI story. And then also the story is the Fed going to actually start cutting interest rates? And I think we're a fairly long way away from that. So I think you and I are on the same page here going, call us a little skeptical of this skinny bull rally here.
I think it's, that's a fair way to say it. And maybe it's just a little bit more of just a cautionary message to people just saying, don't get caught up fully. Don't think that the ugliness is gone. Don't think that, you know, a lot of the ugliness that we were dealing with 12 months ago and 6 months ago, it's still here. Inflation's still a problem. We still have high interest rates. The Fed still needs to figure out how to get us back down to kind of normal levels, right? I'm not sure yet that we're just, I think some people are looking at it with rose-colored glasses, and that, and a lot of headlines are talking about, you know, bull markets and things like that. You go, I don't know how sustainable it is unless it does start to, in a positive way, creep into other sectors and start to become more broad. Then I think you could have a very confident rally on your hands. This one, I don't know yet. I think, and I think we're, hopefully we're taking the right approach by saying, we'll see how it goes. And I think that's why people need to look at it and go, wait, hold on. Why is my portfolio up 20%? Well, again, because if you don't own those eight names, you didn't participate the way that the people that did own those eight names. And that's just not you don't want to chase names like that. That's not a spot you want to be in.
Yeah. You definitely want to stay diversified, I think, in this market right now and not get too heavy in specific sectors. You just have to be a bit more cautious, I believe.
Right.
You know, that's where I see this going, is caution's the name of the game. Be diversified. I think you're going to be okay. I think you're going to get paid off from that long term.
Right.
And just because the trend is not your friend right now, I really do believe in the future that, you know, back to diversification and asset allocation, I think that that's where we should be and not get too overzealous. And this is kind of might be a total head fake rally. I've heard the term violent, kind of all of a sudden we could see a violent correction and you could see everything turn on its head. And I think that that could occur if you see really negative news about inflation and the Fed having to get more aggressive. And we have some Fed minutes coming up and things could change quickly if the Fed comes out and we don't get the sort of dovish comments that we've gotten recently, the pausing comments, and the Fed goes, guess what? We're going to have to continue to get serious about inflation. I think the brakes could be slammed on in this rally and everything could change quickly. So, you know, as investors, you've got to take a look, make sure you're rebalancing, make sure if you do have allocations to stock that you're not over allocated to some of these names that have done really well.
Yeah, because I think you're exactly right. You could get caught in a market like this, and this is not the time to chase names. And if you're wondering what those eight companies are and should I buy those now, boy, I'd be very careful now, because the amount that they've run up to this point, it's just hard to believe that they continue to push significantly higher. So I agree. I think you've got to have confidence and faith in diversification and understand that will be your friend over the next 5 years, maybe not in the, you know, next month or two.
Well, we will check in again on the skinny bull market rally. We'll see if the bull gets fat or if it continues to keep skinny. And we'll see.
I like wide better. Not wide. Fat. Wide. It's wide.
That just kind of widens out.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Wide breadth.
A wide breadth. That's what we want to see.
There we go. Well, thanks for joining us. Another episode of Give Me Some Truth. If you need to ask any questions on it, we are here for those, or put some comments down and we'd be happy to respond.
Wachter Conin Financial Advisors is a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training. The opinions expressed by the participants of this podcast are their own and do not reflect the opinions of Wachter Conin Financial Advisors. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Thanks for listening, and for further information, please visit WachnerCondon.com.